I was reading in time.com an article by Carly Britt, which was written August 2nd, 2018. It starts by saying, we've all heard the saying, relationships are about give and take. And it's true. When you love someone, it's natural to make small concessions so that your partner feels loved and appreciated. But what happens when one person in a relationship gives too much, sacrificing his or her own responsibilities, friendships, and even identity? That person might be participating in what psychologists call a codependent relationship. Here's what you need to know about codependent relationships. What is a codependent relationship? In the codependent relationship, one person is doing the bulk of the caring and often ends up losing themselves in the process, says Dr. Sean Byrne, author of Unhealthy Helping, A Psychological Guide to Codependence, Enabling, and Other Dysfunctional Giving. Conversely, in a healthy relationship, the give and take is relatively balanced and equal. There are two opposing roles that each person in a codependent relationship typically plays, the giver and the taker, says Byrne. Givers tend to have an insistent subconscious need to keep their relationship alive. The fear of being alone causes them to overexert themselves physically and emotionally in order to please their partners, according to Byrne. Takers, on the other hand, benefit from this dynamic of getting much more than they give. The typical taker lacks maturity and suffers from an addiction of personality disorder, Byrne says. This relationship dynamic forms a cycle that's not easy to break. The giver continues to overcompensate for his or her partner, while the taker avoids assuming responsibility. According to Byrne, they become codependent, relying on each other, not for love and care, but for relief from insecurity. Why do people get into codependent relationships? To understand how codependent relationships form, it's important to know the characteristics of people who are predisposed to getting into them. Codependent tendencies often trace back to childhood. When we start to develop patterns in how we connect with people, are what psychologists call attachment styles, says Dr. Holly Daniels, a clinical psychologist in Los Angeles. A 2012 study in the American Journal of Family Therapy found that those who perceived conflict between their parents growing up were more likely to become codependent in adulthood. The reason you develop an insecure attachment style is because you probably didn't have secure attachments with your parents, Daniel says. In codependent relationships, givers have anxious attachment styles. They define themselves by their relationship and will do whatever it takes to stay in it. According to Daniels, takers, she says, tend to have avoidant attachment styles, meaning they try to avoid emotional connection at all costs. They make exceptions for anxiously attached people, however, because they get much more out of a relationship than they have to put in. Givers and takers are drawn to each other, often subconsciously, says Daniels. Over time, givers wear themselves out as they fight for the reassurance they may never get from a taker, while the takers continue avoiding their emotions and taking responsibility for their actions. Oh my goodness. This is like so deep. I think everyone listening to this podcast today really needs to read this entire article. I read it 10 times, and every time I read it, I learn something different. You need to go to time.com. It's the August 2nd, 2018 article. It's just so important. I really realize with, you know, working on new material for my 2021 season podcast, because I really kind of think I'm scrapping my 2020, is that doing research going forward for my podcast is so important. because I've realized, although I feel I'm very versed in experience, I think it's so important to have other people's opinions, to kind of, I wouldn't say not in order to contradict, but I just think it's other layers to have. It's other layers to see that, to balance it out. Because although I'm a giver and I don't feel that I'm a taker, I'm realizing I'm a giver because I didn't see a lot of stuff between my parents. And so when I read this article, I realized why I give. I realized that I was lacking a lot of stuff and lacking a lot of attention, you know, as a child. And so when I give and I don't even receive a thank you or appreciation, I see why I'm so hurt behind it. And so this article, it really touched me. And that's why I said it's so important for friendships. It's important to be evenly yoked with your friends. It matters. It really, really, really does matter. And I feel wisdom, knowledge, and reading is so powerful. It's powerful. So I really want you guys to read this article.
She is hard. Her voice screams callous and her touch raw. You think she doesn't care, but she does, and she always has. You mistook her tenacity for bitch. She is quick. She can time travel like you've never seen before. You saw her tomorrow and didn't realize because you were stuck in yesterday. You mistook her forward thinking for Detro. She is quiet. Her silence scares you because it makes you unsure of yourself. She compels you to swallow and taste your vices. You mistook her composure for judgment. She is vital. Her urgency in this room is undeniable. Your rejection of it only ensures that her visit maintains. You mistook her necessity for oppression. She is unseen. If you had to guess, she would be everywhere and nowhere. Her body is not contained to the visible realm. You mistook her presence for absence. She is radical. Her mind is bottomless, but not like oceans. Bottomless like Black history and Panther bullets. You mistook her revolutionary for hostility. She is secure. Her ego suffocates your inner zealous. You wonder who could be that home. You mistook her confidence for hubris. She is sweet. She is diligent. She is imperfect. She is voice. She is ready. She is now and then. If you asked her why she is always misunderstood, why she is a giver even when we are takers, she would tell you it is because she is a leader.
Have you ever woke up one day and realized that everything you have given to people, all that you've given, was all to the wrong people? All for the wrong reasons? And then you woke up the next day and you had to make it right by letting those people go to gain your freedom back. As much as it hurts, that's what I had to do. Even though those people may have been a part of your journey for many, many years. If it's to get your freedom back, you have to do it. I've realized that for many, many of my years, it was a codependency of mine, but it was an unhealthy codependency for me. And I don't know what it was that triggered me to realize that. But I'm so happy that trigger had happened for me. Because then I wouldn't be able to have realized what freedom looks like on the other side if I didn't release all of those people. It wasn't easy to do, but it was necessary. When I read many, many articles on why we have these codependencies as adults, the statistics show that these things happen when we're children. And if we don't address them when we recognize them as adults, it will affect us all the way through our adulthood, when we become husband and wives, and even when we become parents. And we will transfer those codependencies onto our children. And then they will become teenagers and adults and have those same codependencies and transfer them onto their offspring. And then it becomes the generational curse. It's so important for us to own our codependencies, and it's so important for us to release them, to release the people, so that we can own our freedom. Everyone deserves to be free, because you can't truly be happy in life chained and enslaved. It's impossible. It's amazing to me, at almost 44, that for so many years I was enslaved to the idea of needing approval from others because of a generational curse. Because I was not able to deal with my childhood tragedies. And because I wasn't able to deal with them as a young adult, they grew with me as an adult. They grew with me into my motherhood. And you end up transferring some of those things into your friendships, and then you allow people to play on your emotions, to play on your triggers, and it becomes that generational curse, that effect. In order for us to have our freedom, we have to break the chains. Or we will never have it. In order for us to make these changes, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to own our part. We have to read. We have to research. We have to know what we deserve and what we don't deserve. And I honestly feel it came a point in time that I wanted better, and I know that I deserved better. I think during this quarantine, this pandemic, this shift, this stillness, you know, I started a business and I decided to pause it because I just wasn't in the mindset anymore. Not that I've given up on it, but I just wasn't in the mindset. There was so much going on. And instead of forcing it, I really just wanted to stop and be in the moment of my shift in my mind. I didn't want to keep up with anyone. I wanted to be where I was, because there were so many other things that was happening in my life. And I'm actually glad that I was able to stop, because I think there were more important things going on that I feel that I needed to address. And I don't think I would have gotten to this point where I am now of actually getting my freedom of space, of clearing out some unwanted energy that was in my life. And I'm so glad that I have gotten here in my life, because I know exactly why I have been here for so long. I finally have clarity. Like, I finally see why, you know, always, you know, a little girl yearning for approval of others, when really, you know, I needed the approval for myself. I am deserving, you know, to be loved. You know, I am deserving to have good people around me because I am good. You know, I am thoughtful. I am giving. I am kind. And I'm deserving to have that given back to me. And I can't have people around me that's not that way. And I don't know why in my mind I felt like the people that are around me that are takers, why I felt I needed to keep them around me. I don't know. Because I had family members that were that way, and I felt I needed to keep them in my life because they were family. And that's not true. Just because they're family and they're blood, that doesn't mean that you need to keep them in your life either. And maybe some family members may hear me say this and they may feel offended, but I don't care. Because guess what? I'm not for some of my family members either. And it's actually okay. Because I'm a giver. And they're not deserving of me, is what I've come to realize. That's what I've come to realize. Here I am giving to people
then all they've ever done for me is suck me dry. And I've been just nothing but resentful to them. I'm pouring into people that don't pour into me. So that doesn't balance out. It doesn't balance. You have to be around people that do the same thing that you do, because then it balances. And then this way, no one is resentful. And I don't know why it took damn near 44 years for me to figure that out, but it did. And I actually feel so much freer about it. I do. And I don't know why I get emotional talking about it, because I really thought I was losing my mind, when really I'm not. I just wasn't evenly yoked with most of the people I was surrounding myself with. That's just the truth. And I had to read articles about personality disorders, and I just kept reading and reading and reading, and I realized I was just not associating myself with people that were like-minded like me, that were not balanced in what I like and with the things that I like to do. Doesn't make them wrong, but it also doesn't make me wrong. And so when you're looking for partners, or when you're looking for friends, pick people that are like you. I like to work out. I like to run. I like to write. I'm a people's person. I love to do things with my children. I'm active. I'm not going to associate myself with people that are couch potatoes, right? I'm not going to associate my people with people that are not go-getters. I'm not going to associate with my people that suck people dry and just take. So, you know, I'm not going to associate myself with people that they ask you how you're doing or what you're up to, and you tell them, and then they go around and they tell everybody that you're bragging. You can't ask someone how they're doing or what they're up to, and they tell you, and you don't like what they're telling you, because you're not up to much, you know? So I just had an aha moment in my life through this 5 months of quarantine. You know, I put a pause on my podcast. I put a pause on my book. I mean, my book is complete. And quite frankly, my book has caused, you know, such a ruckus. I just had to stop everything for a moment. My truth has caused the ruckus for so many people. And I don't understand why, because it's my truth. It's my story. Right? But I realize sometimes the truth, unfortunately, hurts other people, because they feel like, for whatever reason, your truth will expose them. And sometimes, unfortunately, that's just what it is. Right? But I will tell survivors out there, don't ever not tell your truth, because someone in some shape or form feel they're going to be offended or they're going to feel exposed. It doesn't matter. Your truth is your truth. And if it's going to set your soul and it's going to set you free, then say it. Period. And to those out there that feel telling your truth may hurt you even more, so you would rather not say it, then don't say it. You have to do with what you can live with. For me, for so many years, I didn't tell my truth. I suppressed it. I kept it to myself because I wanted to protect so many other people. And I damaged myself in the interim. And I chose at this stage in my life that I wasn't going to do it anymore. And I'm not going to. I'm going to tell my truth. Period. The end. Because it's important for me to be free. Me being free has no price. Has no price. Me telling my story, it's not about a bestseller book. It's not about money. I've already made a lot of money. I already drive a fancy car. I already live in a $1 million home. My kids already went to private school and already had a $1 million education and graduated from college. So it's whatever people would like to put out in the universe that this is about fame. I already have that. I don't need that. Right? I don't need it. I don't need the followers. I don't need any of that. You understand? I am doing this for freedom. There's something about writing on a piece of paper and just screaming it out loud and letting the entire world hear it. But I don't need it to be on a bestseller list, and I don't need a 1 million followers. I don't care. That's not why I'm doing it. But it's to show all the little girls and little boys out there that this little girl from Queens did it without all the accolades. She did it on her own. I already made $1 million without the Instagram followers, without being on social media, without being on TV. I already did it. And so can you. Despite what your adversities have been, you can make it. And don't ever let anyone tell you different. But I will tell you this. Surround yourself from now with like-minded people, and don't let people prey on your triggers and on your adversities, because people will do that when you're vulnerable and when you are not sure of who you are and when you second-guess yourself. I still have moments of vulnerability, but in 2020, I couldn't be more sure about myself than ever, and very clear on who I definitely don't want in my life. I couldn't be more clear. I am so clear on who I don't want in my life, and I definitely don't want people playing on my triggers who knows my past and knows how to manipulate their way. I'm very clear now, more than ever. Very clear. I'm a giver, but I'm more clear in 2020. I'm very careful who I give to. There was a time that Andrea Paula Jackson gives to everybody. Be careful who you give to. Because sometimes you could give to the devil and it will work against you. Be careful who you give to. Not everybody is deserving. That's what I've learned. And I'm grateful for the lessons, because it has humbled me. It has taught me discernment. I'm grateful for it. Every lesson is really for a reason. Every journey is for a reason. And you're never too old to learn. You're really never too old to learn, and I'm humbled by it. And I got to tell you, the best thing that I have ever done in my life was leaving my finance job. I took a risk on myself. For the first time in my life, I took a huge risk, and I left money on the table. And it's the best decision I ever made. I proved to myself that I could bet on myself, and I bet big. And it ends up being the best decision I made. So I wanted to come back with a vulnerable podcast, a reflection podcast. And I just want to tell everyone out there, it's okay to research. It's okay to look at yourself and say, what is it going to take for me to get my freedom? What is it going to take for me to be free? Because at the end of the day, freedom is not about money, not mental freedom. Mental freedom costs nothing. It's what is it going to take for you to get there? What are you going to have to let go to get there? And are you willing to let it go? Are you willing to let it go? Ask yourself that. Are you willing to let it go to get there? Thank you for tuning in to Armor's Reflections. Stay tuned. I will be back, but I can't give you advice until I am really back in it, until I am strong. It's been a challenge for all of us. And it's really important that when I come to you, I come back, maybe not 100%. I don't think any of us is 100%, but I come back, you know, I come back bulletproof. I come back ready, you know, Timberland boots on and ready to go. But stay tuned, you know. I'm going to come back with a couple of seasons in the pocket and ready to go. But just know that I'm working on some things. I'm working on some things. And I'm going to be ready for 2021. That's all I can tell you. Stay tuned. Keep rising. I see some of you. I'm proud of some of you that have been supporting me through this journey for a year. And it's been an interesting 2020. But know that we will get through this. Know that we have always risen. We will continue to rise and never, ever, ever lose hope.